turns gold. There's a cold monkey with a heart so bold, tapping on keys like they're made of pure soul. Building dreams out of digits, making websites roll. Oh, Austin Cold Monkey, working all night. SEO wizard making ladies take flight. From the Texas heat to the neon glow, you're the consummate king of the SEO show.
Welcome to another deep dive. And, you know, if you're the kind of learner who really wants to understand the bleeding edge of tech without all the fluff, you are in the exact right place today.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because we are getting into something today that, well, it affects pretty much everyone online.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, imagine you write this brilliant, meticulously researched article, right? And an artificial intelligence reads it, labels it as validation content, and then just unceremoniously throws it into the digital trash bin.
Right. Just tosses it out.
Exactly. We are talking about a massive blind spot in how most of us assume AI search engines actually work. So today we are decoding the exact filter that ChatGPT uses to decide what information gets shown to the user and, you know, more importantly, what gets thrown away.
Yeah, because, you know, we spent, what, 20 years optimizing for the traditional search engine model.
Right, the whole Google playbook.
Exactly. You type in a few keywords, you get your 10 blue links, and then the human does the reading to figure out which link is actually the best. But AI search, it doesn't just rank candidates anymore. It auditions them in real time.
Yeah.
And the criteria it uses to cast the winner is just a complete paradigm shift.
It's wild. And our compass for navigating this shift today is this really fascinating data set and breakdown from Austin Code Monkey. Mm. They're an SEO and AI search optimization company based out of Austin. And they looked at this massive analysis from search engine land. And I mean, the raw numbers just fundamentally break the old rules of online visibility.
They really do. It's almost jarring to see the data.
Yeah. So, okay, let's unpack this, because to understand the filter, we first have to look at the sheer, honestly terrifying scale of what ChatGPT is consuming in the background before it ever types out a single word of its answer.
Yeah, the scale is really where the whole illusion of AI search falls apart.
Right.
So this search engine land analysis, they tracked 548,534 web pages.
It's a massive amount of data.
Right, 500,000 pages that were actively retrieved by the AI. And this was across 15,000 different user prompts.
Okay, so wait, let me just do the math on that really quick. That is roughly 36 pages pulled per single prompt.
Exactly.
So when a user asks a question, they might get, you know, a simple two-paragraph answer. But the machine is basically speed reading dozens of pages behind the curtain just to build that tiny little response.
Yeah, it's doing a ton of invisible work.
Yeah.
But the critical data point here isn't actually how much it reads.
Okay.
It's how much it discards. Out of those 548,000 pages that ChatGPT pulled into its system, it only cited about 15% of them in its final answers.
Wait, wait. So the AI actively fetches 500,000 pages, processes them, and then just deletes 466,000 of them from the final output.
Yep. That is exactly the reality of AI visibility right now.
Huh.
Over 466,000 pages were deemed, you know, relevant enough to pull, but ultimately not useful enough to actually show to the user. And this exposes just a massive flaw in how creators and businesses are measuring their success right now. Because in the old Google paradigm, right, getting indexed and retrieved was essentially the finish line.
Yeah, you hit page one and you're good.
Exactly. If you're on page one, you got eyeballs.
Yeah.
But in the AI paradigm, getting retrieved is just table stakes. It literally only gets you in the door.
You know, it's like a brutal casting director calling in six highly qualified actors for an audition, but only one gets the part.
That's a great way to look at it.
Right. Because the other five actors, they were technically good enough to get in the room. I mean, they had the right headshot, the right resume. They fit the character description perfectly.
Right.
But they still go home completely empty handed. In the AI world, being a finalist means absolutely nothing for your actual traffic.
And for those five actors who get sent home, the real frustration is that they don't even understand what the casting director was actually looking for in the first place.
Right. Because it's a black box.
Exactly. ChatGPT doesn't just rank pages based on traditional authority and then call it a day. It pulls that massive pile of candidates, reads through all of them simultaneously while it's synthesizing its answer, and then it actively filters out anything that doesn't serve its immediate computational goal.
Okay, so if 85% of perfectly good you know, relevant information is getting tossed out by this brutal casting director, there has to be a specific filter.
There is.
So what exactly triggers the AI to choose that one winning page over the other five?
It comes down to a hierarchy of intent.
Intent. Okay.
Yeah. The citation rate is not a flat 15% across all types of searches. It actually fluctuates wildly depending on the psychological state of the user who is typing the prompt.
Oh, wow. Okay. Here's where it gets really interesting, because looking at how they categorize this intent data, I have to push back a little bit. Are we saying that a beautifully written, highly engaging article can actually lose to a slightly clunky, mediocre page just because of its underlying intent? I mean, surely quality still matters. If an action-oriented article has terrible grammar or terrible structure, the AI doesn't just blindly prioritize it, right?
Well, quality does matter, but we have to completely redefine what quality means to a machine.
Okay, fair point.
Because an AI model is not a literary critic, right? It does not feel moved by an elegant metaphor or some clever turn of phrase.
Yeah.
An LLM, a large language model, is at its core a mathematical engine that is trying to complete a task.
Right.
So its definition of quality is purely structural and utilitarian. ChatGPT wants to resolve the user's actual next step.
Okay, make that concrete for me. How does that utilitarian definition actually show up in the citation numbers from the study?
Well, the study broke down citation rates by what the user is actually trying to accomplish, and the divide is just staggering. Let's look at product discovery queries. This is a prompt like, what is the best CRM for a five-person team? Meaning they are actively looking for customer relationship management software.
Right. They have a specific business need.
Exactly. Content that answers that specific purchase-driven query has an 18.3% citation rate.
Wow. Okay. So that is notably higher than the 15% average we just talked about.
Much higher.
And it makes logical sense, right? Because the user is at a crossroads. They literally have their wallet out. They need to make a choice. And the AI needs hard data. It needs feature comparisons, pricing, user limits, just to help them make that choice.
Exactly. It needs actionable variables.
Mm-hmm.
And then following right behind that are how-to queries.
Okay.
So for example, how to set up a Google business profile for a multi-location business.
Oh, sure.
Pages that are addressing those instructional step-by-step queries, they sit at a 16.9% citation rate.
Okay, so again, that is heavily biased toward action. The user wants to physically execute a task, and the AI is hunting for a page that basically provides the blueprint.
Precisely. And then, well, then we hit the floor.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. The third category is what they call validation queries. And this is when a user is searching to just confirm something they already suspect. They aren't looking to buy a CRM. They aren't looking to set up a profile. They literally just want reassurance.
Like someone typing in, is a low-carb diet the only way to lose weight when they are already actively on a low-carb diet?
Exactly.
Or I guess like searching for an opinion piece that just perfectly aligns with their own political views.
Right, exactly. And for those validation queries, the citation rate drops all the way down to a lowly 11.3%.
Wow. That is a massive drop off. So yeah. You are looking at an 18.3% chance of being cited if you help someone decide versus an 11.3% chance if you just help them feel validated.
Yep. A page built for a decision beats a page built for reassurance by nearly a 2-to-1 margin.
That's great.
And going back to your question about quality versus intent, right? A beautifully written validation article will frequently lose to a slightly dry, decision-oriented page.
Because it just doesn't have the math.
Right. The decision page gives the AI the concrete parameters it mathematically needs to close the loop on the user's problem. The beautifully written hot take, it doesn't give the AI any actionable variables to actually process.
Man, that completely inverts the last decade of digital strategy. I mean, so much of the internet economy has been built on generating traffic through validation alone.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, clickbait, outrage blogs, opinion pieces, they thrive on giving people exactly what they want to hear. But AI doesn't care about your hot take if it doesn't contain a mechanical next step.
Exactly. It is shifting the entire currency of the internet from passive agreement to active utility. The AI is a problem-solving engine. It is not a validation engine.
Okay, but since the machine is relentlessly optimizing for actionable next steps, what happens when the human typing the prompt has no idea what their next step should even be?
That happens a lot.
Right. People write terrible, vague prompts all the time. So how does the AI hunt down those action-oriented pages if the user's question is essentially just garbage.
What's fascinating here is a background mechanism called fan-out searches.
Fan-out searches.
Yeah. So when we use a traditional search engine, we assume a one-to-one relationship. I type a phrase, the engine looks for that phrase. But ChatGPT operates on a completely different dimension.
Meaning it doesn't just parse the exact words you typed.
No, because it knows human prompts are often incomplete. Almost 90% of ChatGPT prompts trigger two or more follow-up searches behind the scenes.
Wow, 90%.
Yeah. Before it even starts generating your answer, the model analyzes your vague question, identifies the knowledge gaps, and actively expands your single prompt into multiple related subqueries.
Oh, okay. So it is essentially dispatching a team of digital scouts?
Yes, exactly.
You ask one surface-level question, and the AI immediately says, to actually solve this person's problem, I also need to understand X, Y, and Z, and it just runs all those parallel searches invisibly.
Invisible scouts. And the impact of those invisible scouts is where the real battles for visibility is actually being fought right now.
Really?
Yeah. According to the data set, nearly a third of all cited pages are pulled in only through one of those unseen fan-out searches.
Wait, so they were never even triggered by the original words the user typed into the chat box?
Never. A full third of the winners didn't even match the user's query directly.
Wow. That means you aren't just trying to anticipate what the human's going to ask. You have to reverse engineer what the AI thinks the human needs to know next.
Exactly.
You know, there is a scenario in the breakdown that paints a perfect picture of this. Imagine you build a web page specifically to answer the most straightforward question in your industry, right? Something like, how much does a new website cost?
Right, a highly targeted, intent-driven page.
Right, but because of fan-out searches, your pricing page might get cited when a user asks a seemingly unrelated question like, what should I look for when hiring a digital agency? The human didn't ask about cost at all, but the AI knows that budget is a primary variable in agency selection. So while it's building the answer, it fires off a silent fan-out search for website pricing models, finds your comprehensive cost breakdown, and just weaves your data into its answer about hiring an agency.
And that is the secondary market for AI visibility.
Hmm.
But it poses a very difficult challenge. You cannot realistically map out every possible sub-question an AI might invent on the fly.
Right, because the permutations are literally infinite. So how does a page actually survive a fan-out search? I mean, what makes the AI pick your pricing page over the thousands of others when it's on one of these background scouting missions?
Yeah, the only reliable defense against the unpredictability of fan-out searches is structural depth.
Structural depth.
Yeah. You have to answer your primary target question so comprehensively and with such high information density that the page basically becomes a multi-tool.
Okay, I like that.
So if your page on website cost just says, oh, it varies between $5,000 and $10,000, the AI drops it. It's useless.
Yeah, there's nothing to work with.
But if that same page breaks down e-commerce integrations, local business hosting fees, ongoing maintenance retainers, hourly developer rates, it suddenly contains the exact structured variables the AI needs for a dozen different fan-out scenarios.
Oh, I see. You are giving the casting director a chameleon.
Exactly.
No matter what weird, hyper-specific trait they suddenly decide the scene requires, your actor can deliver it.
Yes. Which forces a massive pivot for anyone managing a digital footprint right now. You can no longer win by covering 100 topics with an inch of depth. You have to cover 10 topics with a mile of depth.
So what does this all mean for the current obsession with programmatic SEO?
Oh, man.
Because right now, the knee-jerk reaction for a lot of businesses is to just use AI to write content for AI, right? They hook up an automated pipeline, churn out 50 blog posts a month, and just assume that sheer volume will eventually capture the algorithm's attention.
Well, if intent matching and fan-out survivability are the real metrics, then the publish more pipeline strategy is a complete trap. Pumping out volume without intense human oversight, it just adds more garbage to the 85% of pages that get retrieved and instantly deleted.
Let's run the math on that pipeline based on the citation rates we just went over, just to put it in perspective.
Let's do it. Say a business sets up an automated system that generates 20 blog posts a month. But because AI generation tends to naturally default to generic, agreeable prose, most of those posts fall into that validation category.
Right.
At an 11% citation rate, that is a tremendous amount of server space and effort, yielding almost zero actual visibility.
But okay, if they cut their production in half, say they produce just 10 pages a month, But a human actually architects them around specific decisions, comparison matrices, clear next steps.
Yes.
They hit that 18.3% citation rate. They're literally generating more visibility with half the output.
Exactly. Because quality and structure scale, while empty volume, just cannibalizes itself.
Wow.
The fatal flaw of these automated pipelines is that they are incredibly good at hitting word counts, but they are completely blind to duplicating intent. This creates a phenomenon known as quality drift. We see this constantly in local SEO with automated city pages.
Oh, the classic local business website trick. You know, best plumber in Austin, best plumber in Dallas, best plumber in Houston. Hmm. Just a drop-down menu of 50 identical pages.
Yep. An automated script can generate those 50 pages in seconds.
Yeah.
But to a large language model reading them, the unique information density drops to near zero.
Oh, because it's all the same text.
Right. The AI parses the Dallas page and the Houston page, realizes the only changing variable is the city name, and immediately flags them as repetitive noise. There is no unique decision-making value on any individual page.
So it just ignores them.
The AI drops them. And worse, those pages end up diluting the overall authority of the entire website.
Wow. So human in the loop isn't just a buzzword. It's a literal mechanical necessity. A human has to curate the intent and ensure every single URL offers a unique variable to the machine. But, you know, this brings up a lingering question about the old guard. If ChatGPT is doing all this complex intent parsing and fan-out scouting, does traditional Google ranking even matter anymore? Are we just throwing out traditional SEO entirely?
No, not at all. In fact, they're deeply intertwined.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The data from Search Engine Land proves that traditional SEO is still the foundation. Over half of the pages that ChatGPT ultimately cited also ranked in Google's top 20 for related queries.
Over 50% overlap.
Yep.
That means ChatGPT is heavily relying on Google's existing homework.
It is. And it gets even more pronounced at the top. A page that holds the number one spot on a traditional Google search is cited 3.5 times more often by ChatGPT than pages sitting outside the top 20.
3.5 times. But why is the AI still leaning so hard on traditional rankings if it has its own, you know, intent filter?
Because traditional SEO and AI visibility are ultimately reading the same underlying signals of trust.
Okay, that makes sense.
AI models rely on search APIs, like Bing's or Google's, to fetch those initial 500,000 pages we talked about. And those APIs use traditional metrics like backlinks, historical user engagement, and domain authority to decide what even goes into the fetch pile.
Oh, I see.
So good structure, verifiable data, and established authority are universally valuable. Whether a human is scrolling a list of links or an LLM is mathematically synthesizing an answer.
Okay, so if we connect this to the bigger picture, a listener might be looking at their own website right now, realizing it is packed with low-performing validation content and feeling like they are miles behind. How long does it actually take to pivot a digital strategy to meet this AI standard?
The encouraging news is that AI search engines are aggressively iterative. You do not have to wait months for a traditional crawler to index brand new pages.
Really?
Yeah, making structural changes to your existing pages, like upgrading a passive validation post into a robust, decision-driven resource that can show up in AI citation behavior incredibly fast.
Wow, that's huge.
The models are constantly fetching fresh data. If you improve the density and structure of the bait today, the AI will likely grab it the next time it casts a net for a fan-out search.
That is an incredibly empowering takeaway. You are not stuck with the legacy content you've published, provided you are willing to go back and inject actual utility into it.
Exactly.
So pulling all these threads together, the core mission for anyone trying to navigate this space, whether you are optimizing a local business for Gemini and ChatGPT, much like Austin Code Monkey does by feeding these models structured verified data, or if you are simply trying to be a more discerning consumer of the information you read online, is understanding that the machine values action.
Always.
It prioritizes decision-making over passive reassurance. It wants the blueprint, not the echo.
And that transition from the echo to the blueprint raises a profound question about the future of our digital culture. It's something I think is really worth mulling over long after this deep dive ends.
Ooh, lay it on us.
Well, we established that AI models systematically penalize and refuse to cite validation content.
Mm, right, the 11.3%.
Exactly. Content designed solely to tell people what they already believe gets thrown in the trash. So if AI search engines eventually replace traditional browsing, could this underlying filter inadvertently kill off the internet's echo chambers?
Oh, wow. That is a fascinating collision of technology and psychology.
Think about the economy of the internet for the last 15 years. It has thrived on outrage and partisan validation. Clickbait farms and polarizing blogs only exist because confirming human biases generated massive traffic and ad revenue.
Yeah, that's the whole business model.
But if the primary gateway to information becomes an AI that mathematically refuses to reward passive validation with visibility, well, the entire economy shifts. If there is no traffic reward for simply confirming biases, the financial incentive to create echo chambers just disappears.
That's incredible.
We might see a web that is forced to return to pure utility simply because the machines refuse to cite the noise.
What an incredible thought to walk away with. The very technology we often fear might further isolate humanity could mechanically force the internet to become useful again simply by starving the echo chambers of their traffic.
It's definitely something to think about.
To the listener, chew on that paradigm shift today. Look at the content you consume and the content you create and ask yourself if it's built for validation or built for action. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the mechanics behind the screen and we will catch you next time.
New from the Austin Code Monkey Underground Lab, the Austin Code Monkey AI Review Response Generator. Our SEO chimp got tired of writing review replies, so we built AI. Utilize it for your business because nobody opens their laptop excited to reply to Google, Yelp, Facebook, and TripAdvisor reviews. Visit Austin Code Monkey for more details at austincodemonkey.com.
Austin Code Monkey delivers expert web design and SEO services for businesses that want more calls, more leads, and more jobs. Our SEO strategies ensure your online presence keeps growing and bringing in results. For more information, call 737-932-7532 or visit our website at austincodemonkey.com.
Austin Code Monkey. Working all night, SEO wizard making rankings take flight. From the Texas heat to the neon glow, you're the code slinging king of the SEO show.